November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I feel obligated to say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, just in case there's any doubt, anyone who might possibly be confused. But Todd Starnes is still on the Trump train, and I've been on the Trump train since 2015. And I think that we need to have a little bit of a conversation about what the heck is going on within the MAGA movement. You know, everybody's trying to take credit for the MAGA movement. Well, first of all, that was actually started by one Ronald Wilson Reagan back when he was running against Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer from Georgia. That's who started it. And it was Donald Trump who embraced and reinvigorated and reintroduced and rebranded MAGA for the 21st century. So Donald Trump is the leader of the MAGA movement. No one else. It's Donald Trump. He's the guy, ladies and gentlemen. He's the guy. And there's a lot of grift going on right now within the Republican world. And that's happening on social media especially, but also in the halls of Congress. And it's an ugly thing what's happening right now between President Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, MTG, I don't know what to say about her. I'm curious, you folks in Georgia, it seems as though, based on a lot of the social media buzz, that most of her constituents, or at least a good many of her constituents, are standing behind Marjorie Taylor Greene and not President Trump. And the president unleashed over the weekend. And I think the president has a pretty good point here. You know, there's an interesting thing about Donald Trump, and you've got this bears repeating. I haven't mentioned this in a long time. But when Donald Trump is out there and he's coming under attack from somebody, he's a pretty patient guy. And he'll take a few jabs, he'll take a few pokes, but when you punch him, you better get ready, because Donald Trump will punch you back, and he will knock you down. And that's who Donald Trump is. Now, many people in Congress and the so-called conservative influencer crowd, they all claim to be MAGA, but they really aren't. Because their loyalty is not to President Trump. Their loyalty is all self-serving, and it's built on this grift. You know, they want clicks. They want all that money, that advertising revenue. They want to get invited to the parties at Mar-a-Lago. So there's a lot of noise happening right now within the conservative movement, a lot of noise. And there's a lot of ugliness and a lot of betrayal. But I think everybody needs to step back here and put everything in context. And whenever, every single day, when I get up and I get behind this big, beautiful, huge microphone, this is what I'm thinking about. I go all the way back to Butler County, Pennsylvania, when Donald Trump nearly had his head blown off because he loves our country. Donald Trump nearly sacrificed his life for our nation. And so I'm willing to give this guy a whole heck of a lot of leeway. Does that mean I agree with every single one of his policy positions? Absolutely not. But at the end of the day, Donald Trump is the guy that we elected as our president. And I'm sick and tired of all of these grifters. And you see them all over social media, all of these folks who lost their jobs at Fox News, and now they're trying to find relevance, and they feel like they can do that by taking pot shots at President Trump. And we've got to stop that. I'm just going to say it. If we don't fix this very quickly, we could end up having big problems in the midterm elections. And if the Democrats win the House of Representatives, it's all over, ladies and gentlemen. It's all over. It's done. The entire America First MAGA agenda comes to a grinding halt. That's it. So we've got to get our act together. And I don't know what's going on with MTG, but when you've got somebody out there who is, you know, chomping at the bit to go on CNN and hang out and giggle with the gals on The View, that is a problem in my book. Now, here's MTG, after years, by the way, of building her brand on being this firebrand, on being this person who goes out there and confronts the Democrats, and now MTG is turning on everybody. Cut number 13.
I would like to say humbly, I'm sorry for taking part in the toxic politics. It's very bad for our country. It's been something I've thought about a lot, especially since Charlie Kirk was assassinated, is that I'm only responsible for myself and my own words and actions. And I am committed, and I've been working on this a lot lately, to put down the knives in politics. I really just want to see people be kind to one another, and we need to figure out a new path forward that is focused on the American people, because as Americans, no matter what side of the aisle we're on, we have far more in common than we have differences. Yeah. And we need to be able to respect each other with our disagreements.
Okay. And all right, great. But that's not who you are, and that's not who you profess to be to the American people. By the way, MTG said that she never met Nick Fuentes. Now photographs are surfacing showing her not only meeting Nick Fuentes, but embracing him and standing with him on stage. But MTG says never met the guy. MTG also says she's never said anything negative about Sharia law. We've got a three-minute audio tape. 3 minutes. I'm not going to play it here. We don't have time. 3 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, of MTG saying that we need to be very concerned and alarmed about the rise of radical Islam. Now MTG is saying she never said any of that. So, I don't know what's going on with her. I really don't. But it seems like after the marriage unraveled, you know, things have gone a little squirrely. And I know some of you are going to say, because I've gotten some hate mail on this already, some of you, how dare you? Who do you think you are dragging this woman's marriage into? Well, you know what? We did it with Mark Green. Mark Green went out there, the congressman from Tennessee, the Republican congressman from Tennessee, cheating on his good church-going wife. We called that guy out. And if you're going to call out the men, you got to call out the women, too. That's the way we do it on this program. We don't show favoritism. But again, MTG is out there saying that she did not ask Trump if he would endorse her. And that's simply inaccurate. So I'm not sure who is giving her counsel right now, but Trump is done. Trump has now given her a nickname, and you know it's over. When the nickname comes, that's it. Marjorie Traitor Green. That's what Trump is calling her right now. Marjorie Traitor Green is a disgrace to our great Republican Party. Oh, by the way, this whole thing, H-1B visas, this is another great example of MTG. MTG was all for, she runs a construction business, and she was talking about how they can't find people, and we need the H-1B visa people. Now, it's she's on the other side of the aisle on this. So I don't care. If you're a politician and you take a position, stick with your position. Just stop changing. You know, just you walk outside, which way is the wind blowing, and that's how you're gonna vote. I mean, be real, be authentic. Now, on that issue, I stand on the other side of the president. That doesn't mean I'm some sort of a far leftist. That doesn't mean I'm an establishment Republican. It means I stand alongside the American working man and the American working woman. And I do believe that we've got a big problem with H-1B visa holders, 70% coming from India, coming over here, and many of them taking entry-level jobs away from law-abiding American citizens. I mean, it's insanity. Not to mention the 600,000 Chinese students that are going to be infiltrating our nation's academic system, many of whom, well, all of whom we have to believe are communist. You think they're going to be spreading the gospel of communism on American shores, on these university campuses? Just think about that. So now President Trump is out there. And President Trump got back to Washington late last night. And the president was asked about MTG. Cut number 10.
Her life is in danger. Who's that?
Marjorie Taylor Greene, she says.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't think her life is in danger. I don't think anybody cares about her.
All right. By the way, so MTG is now saying that she's getting death threats and pizza deliveries, not necessarily in that order. There's like a bomb threat or something. So Laura Loomer actually called the police there in Marjorie's district saying, hey, can you provide us with any sort of police report on these incidents? And there were none. There were no official police reports filed. I don't know what to make of that. I'm just passing this information along to you. But there do seem to be some alliances forming, and MTG, there have been some scuttlebutt that she may want to run for president in 2028. You've got people already making shuffles there. Ted Cruz suggesting he might run. You've got Ron DeSantis. You've got MTG. And then, of course, Rubio and J.D. Vance. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, who do you stand with here? Do you stand with Trump? Do you stand with MTG, who seems to be aligning herself with Tucker, with Fuentes, with Candace Owens, with Megyn Kelly? There are dividing lines being formed within the Republican world right now. This will all end very badly if we don't fix this. And how do we fix it? We get behind the president's agenda. The concern here is the president changed the agenda that he ran on, especially when it comes to the H-1B visa crowd. All right, we've got to take a break. Opening up the phone lines here, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Again, it certainly appears that the people in MTG's district support her. Trump is calling on somebody to primary MTG. We'll see how that plays out. Also, her boyfriend, that's the guy over, at Real America's News. He's always asking the questions of the White House. No word on if he'll still be allowed to do that now that all of this has transpired. So what a big mess. What a big mess, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in 2 free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. So I have a question about you folks in North Carolina. Are any of you actually born in the state? or better yet, in America. And I say that because there is some new intel coming out regarding exactly how many foreign-born people, and this would be, I guess, legal and illegal, who are currently living in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is the largest city in North Carolina, cut number 8.
Tonight, Charlotte, North Carolina is the latest city to see a surge in immigration enforcement. Officers today started detaining people. The city is made up of more than 900,000 people, including more than 150,000 who are foreign-born, according to officials. Local leaders object to the federal force, saying it instills fear and uncertainty.
All right. Did you catch those numbers? 900,000 residents. Out of the 900,000, more than 150,000 are foreign-born, are foreigners. So we're looking at about 20% of North Carolina's largest city being people who may, in fact, be illegal. It's insane. So ICE moved in over the weekend, and all you know what is breaking loose in Charlotte, where you have a lot of these radical leftists, and they are marching in the streets. They're defending the illegals. There have been a couple of very dangerous situations. At least one ICE officer was injured when illegal rammed, and they're doing a lot of this now, using their vehicles as weapons and ramming ICE trucks and ICE vans. So I'm excited to see this. Well over 100 illegals have already been arrested, I think, in just a day and a half in Charlotte. But a lot of people are just shocked that, because you think, well, the illegals, they're in New York City and Chicago and California, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego. But you don't really think that about the fact that during the Biden administration, they were literally airdropping. There were airdrops of illegals in many other cities across the South and the Midwest, especially. And if you're telling me that 20% of your population in Charlotte, North Carolina is foreign born, ladies and gentlemen, that is nothing more than replacement theory in real time. And I'm curious, you folks in Statesville, especially, because I think that's the, you know, we have a very large audience in the Statesville area. I have to imagine that you folks in the suburbs, and then the exurbs, as they call them, you guys are seeing this impact as well. Not only does it change culture, but you get lawlessness. You lose the very essence of what it means to be a North Carolinian. I mean, it would be like, I don't know, the Andy Griffith Show replacing Barney Fife with Jose or Emilio. So Ron DeSantis really raised an interesting point here. DeSantis was speaking at Yale, and he's getting ready to run. And DeSantis is out there talking about the issue here, and it's not just illegal immigration. It is also legal immigration. We are literally being swamped with illegals and legals. Cut number 5.
But, you know, you have some strain on the right that says, oh, no, you know, illegal immigration is bad. Legal immigration, no matter what, is good. And wait a minute. Now, I'm not saying any of it's that it's all bad or what, but is bringing 10 million people from like Somalia and dumping them into Georgia, is that good because it's legal? I think you have to think critically about what are we doing with an immigration policy, and is it benefiting the American people? Is it helping to promote a strong American culture? We should never bring people into this country who hate America. When I look at like Mindami's dad and listen to the stuff he's saying about America being the, I'm like, why would we have wanted somebody like that to come? I mean, especially if you think America is so bad. So we have to be smart. It's lazy thinking to say anything that's legal must necessarily be good. Some of these companies game these systems with bringing cheap labor. So there's a whole host of things. But don't do what Europe did. Europe did a mass migration that was legal, that was intentional, and it's proven to be disastrous.
And he's absolutely right there. And let me say this as we go to break. The reality is that we are importing a very dangerous segment of the world population, and that's the Islamist. And we'll get into that a little bit later on in the program. But I do want to hear from you folks in North Carolina. I mean, are things really that bad there in the Charlotte area? 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest three-in-one sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to Hendersonville, North Carolina. Katie is listening to us on WHKP. Hi, Katie. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Glad you could take my call today. I'm fed up. I am fed up with every time I go out into my community, there are people helping illegal immigrants, and they're not helping the people of North Carolina. I'm tired of it, and I speak for almost everybody I know. Nobody wants them here, and our town is changing, and we don't like it.
Now, Katie, you don't live right next to Charlotte, so you're telling me in Henderson, is it Henderson or Hendersonville?
Hendersonville.
All right, so in Hendersonville, you guys are having the same issue with the illegals there in Hendersonville.
Exactly. Let me tell you a little story. My daughter almost failed her school until she was in the ninth grade, until I almost had to pick a fight with the principal to get them to pay attention to my daughter, because they have everything you need if you're Spanish, and they even speak Spanish. But I had to, and once she got on the right plan with the school that I had to fight to get, she was on the AB honor roll. And all they would do was help these Mexicans and help these illegal families, and they would not help me and my daughter. I'm tired of it.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that bad in the smaller towns as well. And because you don't hear those stories. I mean, normally it's the big cities that are dealing with this. But, Katie, you're saying there in Hendersonville, you guys are dealing with this in a significant way as well.
It is very bad. You have to almost speak Spanish everywhere you go just to get around in Hendersonville. And I'm tired of it. I grew up here, and I was born and raised here. I served my country in the Army, and I came back. And I want them gone, Todd. I want them gone.
What's the solution? I mean, clearly you guys are talking about this in Hendersonville. What are people saying?
People are begging for ICE to come to Hendersonville. And I am waiting for the day that they do, because I will point them in every direction they need to go.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be a big task. And Katie, I'm just shocked that just in less than 24 hours, you had over 100 illegals arrested in Charlotte. And that tells me, they're calling it Charlotte's Web, by the way. That's the official name of the Homeland Security operation.
Well, it's bad here in Hendersonville. I mean, even I work in an oral surgery office, and we send people to the public health dental clinics, and they won't even take people that speak English in our public dental health clinics here in Hendersonville. And that's sad.
So you're telling me that your tax dollars, they're in Hendersonville, North Carolina, those tax dollars are being used to help illegals while denying that same kind of help to law-abiding American taxpayers.
Exactly. I went there myself. I didn't take Medicaid. I didn't take food stamps. My daughter's 25. I was a single mother up until just a few years ago. And every time I went to that clinic for free help for myself, for my daughter, they would not take us.
Wow. It's not right, Katie.
No,
it's not right.
It's not.
And it is incumbent upon us. And unfortunately, the Democrat Party is just gone. They're gone. But we've got to really force the Republicans on this issue. And again, we talk about two big issues on this program, one of them being illegal immigration. Without secure borders, we do not have a sovereign nation. But the other thing is our nation's education system, that it is literally turning our kids and our grandkids against us. And we have got to step in and we have got to reclaim control of our schools. Those are non-negotiables when it comes to the Trump administration. Katie, I appreciate you painting the picture there in Hendersonville. And I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, not just in North Carolina, but across the nation, are you guys seeing the same thing happen where the illegals are being moved into your neighborhoods? This was all done during the Biden administration under the dark of night. And I remember in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we had a lot of callers in Chattanooga that were alerting us to late night flights. The airport had been closed. They were bringing in these flights filled with illegals, and then they were transporting them to smaller towns and communities all across Tennessee. So it's not just in North Carolina where this sort of thing is happening. And I will say this, I'm very excited to see what's happening in Charlotte. As a matter of fact, here's Trish McLaughlin.
Charlotte's a beautiful city, but in this case, its leadership has absolutely failed it. We know that there is more than 1,400 criminal illegal aliens who are in their jails, and they refuse to turn over those individuals to ICE law enforcement, which really, that means a revolving door of justice, and these criminal illegal aliens will go back onto Charlotte's streets to re-perpetuate their crimes. We're talking about serial child pedophiles, murderers, rapists, gang members, people who pose real public security threats to the American people. And so, of course, we are surging resources there, and we won't stop until Charlotte is safer.
And Tricia, we were seeing footage of crowds surrounding federal agents during arrests or searches for illegal aliens, and they hand out whistles for people to use to alert illegals that agents are nearby. How is DHS responding to these individuals who are essentially obstructing justice and getting in the way of these federal operations?
Well, if you are obstructing justice or you are putting hands on law enforcement, you can expect to be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But we saw this out of New York. We saw this out of Chicago. We saw this out of Los Angeles. And yet we made more than 5,000 arrests so far in Chicago, about 7,000 out of Los Angeles. And we're going to keep going in those sanctuary cities. So as much as these activists and sanctuary city politicians want to try to slow us down, want to try to obstruct our efforts, we have the mandate of the American people. We are enforcing the rule of law that's on the books in Congress, and we will continue to enforce the law and make America's streets safer.
All right, and that's exactly what's happening. Let's go to Joan in Virginia. Hi, Joan, what's on your mind today?
When you said that you were wanted to know what was going on in Charlotte, I'm not in Charlotte, but ever since this happened, it's been in my mind. I'm in Virginia, and my husband took my grandson for a test in Charlotte. It was an all-day thing. And while my husband was waiting for him, he saw a bunch of people coming in with trailers and tanks and all the equipment to wash cars. They pulled into a parking lot. They appeared to be Hispanic. And they just set up a free, you know, freelance car wash. And it just really, we talked about it, and I said, well, are you sure it wasn't a fundraiser? He said, no, it wasn't a fundraiser. They were raising funds for themselves. And everybody else, you know, in Charlotte, I'm sure has to have a business license. They have to obey the environmental standards. You can't just do things like that. But in the countries that some of these illegal people are coming from, the people do what they want to do, and they don't worry. You know, they can just pay off somebody. So that's my concern, is when I heard about that, I was kind of scratching my head, and nobody, you know, my husband was waiting there most of the day for this test. It was an all-day thing. So that was the only thing that I know about Charlotte.
Well, it's unfortunate that this is happening, but, you know, the Democrats are turning a blind eye to all of this, and these illegals know, they're smart. They know that they're not going to get picked up. But now that Trump sent in the ICE agents, and you've got this massive law enforcement presence, it's all hands on deck now, and the illegals, they're going to be running out of that city if they're not caught first.
Right.
All right, Joan. Go ahead, Joan.
We voted for that.
That's what I voted for. You're exactly right, Joan. That's what we voted for. And thank you for the call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, coming up tonight, by the way, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Millions of people are now tuning into Newsmax, and they're watching us on cable, our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and their TVs. Reuters, by the way, now calling us one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night, you're going to be able to get great shows with Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, and more. Find out why Newsmax is now the fastest growing news channel in America. You can make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. Recently, you've heard about the possible dangers of acetaminophen or Tylenol for young children and pregnant mothers. Social media sites have recommended common sense remedies for mild fever that include homeopathy and select herbs that work without side effects. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and depletes your most potent antioxidant, glutathione, your force field against invaders. Did you know 3 or more alcoholic drinks in Tylenol can cause liver damage? Moms have been giving us first aid since the beginning of time, and now an online group called Crunchy Moms are offering simple options for fever that really work. PD Labs Pharmacy has a team of skilled clinical pharmacists trained in natural medicine, as well as traditional pharmaceuticals like leucovorin for autism and ivermectin for infections. Call us today at 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com and experience a new era in healthcare. pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
All right, welcome back. So this story out of Massachusetts, the Commonwealth, they've got a Democrat woman governor, a governorette. Her name is Mara Healey. And Governorette Healey, the lady gov, do we call her governorette or lady gov? We'll call her lady gov. So the lady gov has just appointed a man pretending to be a woman to a commission on the status of women. The commission's assignment is to focus on improving opportunities for women. Gazelle Bird is the appointee. He's a man who dresses like a woman. He's got giant man boobies, but he's also got a hairy chest. It's not a good look, sir. Not a good look. He also thinks that America is a racist nation. Mr. Bird posted a note saying he was honored to be the first transgender woman of color on the commission. Now, I have long said this. I know some of the conservative influencers have stolen this, but it's true that men apparently make the best women in America. Now, Dr. Carol Swain is a leading conservative thinker, and she's based in Nashville, taught at Vanderbilt, I believe taught law there for many, many years. Said liberal women have allowed men to erase their biological identity and reverse their historic gains. The Massachusetts Family Institute is also weighing. You can't make this stuff up. You just can't make it up, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, the Massachusetts Family Institute is weighing in as well. And they say that Mr. Byrd's appointment is the logical conclusion of feminism in society. I see exactly where they're coming from on this. I want to read the full statement here from the Massachusetts Family Institute because they raised some very good points. Here's the quote. This is the logical conclusion of feminism in Massachusetts society. Feminism suggests that women can do anything that men can do. And if this is true, then there is basically no difference between the sexes. And if there is no distinction between male and female, then why can't a woman become a man or vice versa? If men and women are basically the same, then this man, Gazelle Byrd, is perfectly justified in wearing the female form like a Halloween costume. And it's a scary costume. This is not a good-looking dude dressed like a gal. You know how some don't look all that bad? I mean, after you slather them up with the makeup and everything. But this guy, yeah, that's not this guy. So all that to say, and here's the problem with all of this. If all of this goes unchecked, every future achievement made by a female will be relegated to obscurity because the men are doing it better. So you better man up, ladies. You better man up. To that point, have you heard about this hockey team? This is a weird, weird story, but there's a hockey team and they've got four transgender dudes on the team. This is the headline from Libs of TikTok. And this is what's going on in Tampon Tim's, Minnesota. A Minnesota women's hockey team has four dudes. And even more are participating on women's teams across the state. And by the way, why would you not want, if you're a coach, you want to take advantage of everything, right? So, I mean, if you're a coach and you've got dudes who want to identify as gals, then you're going to put those guys on your team. Would you not, ladies and gentlemen? I'm just telling you. Anyway, what a bunch of crazy lunacy on this Monday. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, coming up, we're going to talk about Michelle Obama. On Friday, she sat down on a podcast, and here's how crazy. What she said was so insane, I did not believe it. I thought it was AI-generated, and I actually had to hunt down the original podcast and listen to that podcast with my own ears to make sure that Michelle Obama, Big Mike, actually said what he said he said. Did I say he? I meant she. My apologies. Anyway, here's Michelle Obama, and she's got a message for all of you white people out there.
Worry about it. Let me explain something to white people. Our hair comes out of our head naturally in a curly pattern. So when we're straightening it to follow your beauty standards, we are trapped by the straightness. That's why so many of us can't swim and we run away from the water. People won't go to the gym because we're trying to keep our hair straight for y'all. It is exhausting and it's so expensive and it takes up so much time. Braids are for y'all so we can work harder and focus on the work. So why do we need an act of law to tell white folks to get out of our hair? Don't tell me how to wear my hair. Don't wonder about it. Don't touch it. Just don't.
Okay. That was Michelle Obama doing a podcast in front of a live audience. And it's somewhat a bit shocking. First of all, do any of you actually think about Michelle Obama's hairstyle? Is that like the first thing when you're looking at Michelle Obama, is that the first thing that you think of is, wow, look at her hair. I wish I could touch her hair. She called out the white people. So white people of the Todd Stern Show audience, do you just randomly go up and touch the hair of a black person? If you're in the supermarket or you're at Macy's and you see a black person coming your way, do you pet their hair? Is that what you do? I don't know. I've never met anybody who's done that. Ever. This right here is a woman who has some big problems with white folks. And you heard it. She wants to lecture you. She wants to white-splain things for you. This is hilarious. So a couple of things about Michelle, and I don't care what she does with her. I really don't. It's none of my business, and it's her head. What she does with her hair is her own business. But a couple of questions here. First of all, she said that she loves her naturally curly hair. That's her natural, authentic look. So if that's the case, then why is it that Michelle Obama is wearing a wig? Why is it that Michelle Obama, and she said in another interview, it takes a team of professional makeup artists and hairstylists to make her look presentable. Why is it they're straightening out her hair? If, in fact, and putting in the extensions, if, in fact, she loves her original hairdo. And I'll just ask this as well. Why is this woman culturally appropriating? I mean, why is she wearing white people hairstyles on her head? Again, if she loves her natural look, I'm just asking. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of The Big Show coming up next.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. Recently, you've heard about the possible dangers of acetaminophen or Tylenol for young children and pregnant mothers. Social media sites have recommended common sense remedies for mild fever that include homeopathy and select herbs that work without side effects. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and depletes your most potent antioxidant, glutathione, your force field against invaders. Did you know three or more alcoholic drinks in Tylenol can cause liver damage? Moms have been giving us first aid since the beginning of time, and now an online group called Crunchy Moms are offering simple options for fever that really work. PD Labs Pharmacy has a team of skilled clinical pharmacists trained in natural medicine, as well as traditional pharmaceuticals like leucovorin for autism and ivermectin for infections. Call us today at 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com and experience a new era in healthcare. pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Sexist, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, there you have it, everybody. Michelle Obama, the most oppressed black woman in the history of the world. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. So, look, I want to go back, and we're going to take your calls here in just one second, but I want to go back and play this audio of Michelle Obama, and she's on this big book tour, and she's talking about how miserable she was in the White House, and apparently all of you people out there, you white people, are so racist that you elected her husband not once but twice to the highest office in the land. And I think she holds that against you, ladies and gentlemen, people of the Caucasian persuasion who might be in our audience. So here's Michelle Obama, and she's talking about her hair. She's got a fixation here. She believes that all of you people out there, and by you people, I mean you people out there are obsessed with her hair. And you want to run up to Michelle Obama and you want to touch her hair. Take a listen.
Let me explain something to white people. Our hair comes out of our head naturally in a curly pattern. So when we're straightening it to follow your beauty standards, we are trapped by the straightness. That's why so many of us can't swim. And we run away from the water. People won't go to the gym because we're trying to keep our hair straight for y'all. It is exhausting and it's so expensive and it takes up so much time. Braids are for y'all so we can work harder and focus on the work. So why do we need an act of law to tell white folks to get out of our hair? Don't tell me how to wear my hair. Don't wonder about it. Don't touch it. Just don't.
Dylan, I have a question for you. You know who we should have brought on is Ben Dieter. You know, Ben Dieter has his own fro thing going on, right?
Very naturally curly.
It is naturally curly. But I'm wondering if he would be guilty. Do people come up to Ben? Now, I can see people coming up to Ben Dieter. Oh, little fluffy Ben.
Yeah.
Like one of those metrosexual purse puppies. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't even know what their names are. I know exactly who you're talking or what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can see that with Ben, though.
The little Shih Tzus.
Yeah.
I had to be careful with the pronunciation.
Yeah, Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzu.
It's very good, nice.
But shizzle. So anyway, I mean, we need a Dieter here on this because I suspect he would have some good commentary. And maybe that's true. Maybe people just wandering down, you know, he's wandering down the halls of Congress and people ask if they can touch his hair.
He would have great advice.
He would.
He's a sage.
He's got the power fro. But Michelle Obama, I'm just not understanding what she's alleging now, I guess, that black people are overweight because they're afraid to go to the gym because of white people will think about them. And also that's why they don't swim. You know, I don't swim because I don't know what's lurking in the water. That's just like weird. Right. So I don't like swimming. Maybe a swimming pool, but not the rivers or the lakes. But that has nothing to do with black people. What do you call, who is it, the Jamaicans that have the Amon and they do the big, what are those big things that come, they kind of like, I don't know, like massive supersized dregs? Is that what they call them? Now, I can understand that because, you know, especially if you're like a waiter or something and you've got the ones that come down to your waist, you know, and if they're flailing about, I guess you could say, could you please make sure that doesn't land in my linguine?
Oh, the dreadlocks.
The dreadlocks. Dreadlocks. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. That's the Jamaican. Yeah.
Amon.
Yeah. There you go.
But I'm just, anyway, let's go to Josh in North Carolina, WSJS, our affiliate out in those parts. All right, Josh, help me out here.
Hey, Todd. I got 2 points. First off, I know it's really rude, but I wish she would just shut up about this. Talking about swimming and everything, I mean, I know whites are a little bit different. We have, I live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, you know, kind of where I am. I've got Lake Norman. I've got the Yakin River. I've got creeks. I've got pools everywhere. I could run through the mountains, Sliding Glass Falls, Stone Mountain. 90% of the black people in my area live downtown, and they don't have pools. They don't go out. That's why they don't swim. It's got nothing to do with their hair, and nobody cares about their curly hair. My wife is a redhead, and she has extremely curly hair. Sometimes she wears the curly, sometimes she wears the straight. There's tens of millions of white people that have curly hair, and they don't complain about it.
No, it seems like she's complaining so much that you wonder maybe she doesn't really like her naturally curly hair.
Yeah, I mean, there is a very prominent reporter for ESPN has got a bald head, and she's black and doesn't complain about it. I mean, it's your choice. I mean, if you watch college basketball or NBA, there's guys that have afros like you wouldn't believe, and they don't complain about it. It's just their natural hair, and they do whatever they have to do. We don't care if you straighten it or curl it or do anything. You do whatever you need to do to be proud of yourself.
Now, I got to ask you this, though, Josh, being a Southerner, how old are you by any chance?
I'm 49.
Sorry. So you're 49. So here's the thing, and we're going to play another clip here, and I want to hear your thoughts on this one. Michelle Obama talking about how you have to be careful that black people have to be careful the way they talk, all right, and where they go in Chicago. Dylan, let's play that clip.
Exposure to the high end of Chicago, and to access those places and not be accused of stealing, you realize very early on that you better let them hear you talk or, you know, come in with the right LASAC case or else you would be watched. And, you know, so I think I learned then that how you show up, especially when it comes to white folks looking at young black kids, that how you present can sometimes save your life. So, yeah, I think I was learning that all throughout my youth.
All right. Josh, I'll have more to say about this, but you're 49. I'm 58. So Michelle Obama was born in 64. She's a few years older than us, but she basically grew up in this similar time, this era. I don't recall a single news story about white people targeting blacks in Chicago on the South Side for how they talked or, you know, what stores they were in. She would have you believe, and this goes back to this idea that people would have you believe that black people were oppressed and really have just now gotten their freedom here in the 21st century, which is simply not true.
No, that's ridiculous. I mean, and she said it herself. It's the way you present yourself. And it's your expectations when you go in. If you expect to be treated a certain way, people are going to treat you that way because you're nervous, you're upset, and you're not acting right. Being 49 years old in Winston-Salem, when I went to the sixth grade, they integrated the black and white schools. I spent 3 hours every single day on a bus to be taken downtown so white people could go to a black school. 3 hours every day, plus school. And then I had homework 5 days a week. And most of my friends were black. I've been in the restaurant business for 35 years. You know, the best cook I ever had in my entire life was a black man that was 50 years old that spent 10 years in prison because he got in a bar fight and hit a guy in the nose and shoved it through his brain.
Jeez, hello.
And that was the only crime he ever committed. Now, that was the best worker I've ever had. You know, growing up in the 80s, growing up in the 90s, around blacks, it was perfectly fine. It was around 2000 when everything went sideways. You know, we're owed this, and you treat us a certain way. And in my area, the whites are the ones that are discriminated on.
Yeah, can we go back to the crime? I just have questions. What crime did he commit?
He got in a bar fight.
Oh.
Somebody assaulted his wife.
Oh, well,
and he defended her, and he hit the man in a certain way, shoved his nose up in his brain, and caused massive damage. He did not die, but he was accused of some kind of aggravated assault, something.
I would say that would be aggravated. Yeah, no doubt about that. Jeez, hello. Josh, point well taken. Look, I don't think anybody cares. I think she cares, and I think that she's worried about it. Otherwise, she wouldn't be out there wearing wigs and straightening her hair, and why does anybody care? That's the issue. Josh, thanks for the call. Jeez, Lou Dillon. You got to watch those bar fights.
Yeah, apparently.
Nose into the brain. Wow.
Very descriptive, Josh is.
It's important. Do we have Ben Dieter? Is this true? We've got Ben Dieter on the line. Ben, we were talking about you a few moments ago. We're talking about Michelle Obama's hairdo.
And that inferred my name? I'm appalled. I'm offended. What's going on?
No, Dillon and I were admiring you. So Michelle Obama said that apparently white people like to go around and touch curly people's hair, like black people's hair. And you're the only person we know. You've got a white power fro, or you had one. And I'm just wondering, did anybody just randomly come up to you and, like, tap, you know, pat your head?
All the time. I was like a little poodle. People would be like, is that real hair?
See,
you get a perm, and the next thing I knew, they were running their hands through my afro, Todd. But I wasn't offended. It was a compliment. I'm like, yeah, sure. Just make sure your hands are not crazy.
Let me ask you this. Do you know how to swim?
Yes, I'm a great swimmer.
Okay, well, Michelle Obama said the reason why black people can't swim is because of their hair. So it's a white people. We're apparently to blame for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I saw that clip. you know, it's interesting because I think what she's trying to say is black people try to straighten their hair because white people are asking them to. I'm very confused about that. I have very curly hair. I have an afro, and no one's ever asked me to have straight hair. I don't know if that's a societal norm or a standard that we're supposed to keep up. But if you jump in the pool with straight hair, it will get curly if you're naturally curly. So I think she's saying, because we have to put the straightening irons or whatever, the heat product in our hair to make it straight, that if you get in the pool, it will go back to curly as you were created with curly hair. I don't know, Todd. She just seems very, very angry.
Yeah, she is angry. You know, this is funny. I have the straightest hair of anybody I know. And yet when I was in college, I lost a bet. So I had to get a perm. And that turned out not to be a good look for me. And on a couple of reasons, they only permed half my head. So it looked like I had like a muskrat. I had like an animal on my head.
I think that's called cultural appropriation, Todd.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I don't think that's allowed nowadays.
I look like John Goodman. That was a bad look.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? As she's saying all of this, Todd, her hair was straight. And I'm like, so if it's a problem that you're being forced to have straight hair, still have straight hair. Have curly hair. No one's forcing you to get your hair straightened. Because clearly when she made those remarks, those very hateful remarks, her hair was straighter than a pin.
This is true. This is true. Can we all agree, though, that, and I appreciate her concerns over her hair, but I think we have a bigger problem over on the white side of the hair salon, and that would be the mullet.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the mullet. Hey, Todd, can I just say something? This is breaking news. And maybe Dylan can give some breaking news?
Oh, hold on. We have some breaking news.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
All right, let's go live to Washington, D.C. Breaking news, Ben Dieter. Ben?
I got paid today, Todd. I got paid after 50-plus days. I checked my Bank of America account, and your city, as well as the entire federal government, got their long-awaited payday.
Wow. The studio audience is going wild, and many of them are saying, Ben owes me $5, and we've got somebody in the back, Ben owes me $20.
Woo-hoo!
$10 over here. Wow, so you finally got paid.
It's Christmas in November. I never thought one could be so happy, but I am the happiest I've been in 50-some days, Todd. The paycheck hit my bank account. Thank you, Republicans. Thank you, President Trump. Not thank you to the Democrats that voted over 15 times to not pay me. I finally got that paycheck. So, you know, thank you. Thank you to your audience. You guys were sending me care packages. Todd sent me a couple dollars for some groceries. It was just very, very nice. So anyhow, just a very, very happy Hill person today.
They're going to miss you down at the soup kitchen.
Yeah. Those days hopefully are wrapping up. But who knows? I mean, they're threatening to shut down the government in January. So oh, I God. Might be right back out at the bread line.
By the way, Schumer wanted to keep the thing shut down until Thanksgiving. Could you imagine?
I frankly can't. Anyhow, I know you've got to take a break soon.
We do.
He's up breaking news. You heard it first in our nation's capital.
All right, Dieter, thank you. Go get a haircut. Ben Dieter, everybody, there in Washington. We do need to take a quick break here. I'm glad he got paid. I was getting a little worried about that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. Recently, you've heard about the possible dangers of acetaminophen or Tylenol for young children and pregnant mothers. Social media sites have recommended common sense remedies for mild fever that include homeopathy and select herbs that work without side effects. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and depletes your most potent antioxidant, glutathione, your force field against invaders. Did you know 3 or more alcoholic drinks in Tylenol can cause liver damage? Moms have been giving us first aid since the beginning of time, and now an online group called Crunchy Moms are offering simple options for fever that really work. PediLabs Pharmacy has a team of skilled clinical pharmacists trained in natural medicine, as well as traditional pharmaceuticals like leucovorin for autism and ivermectin for infections. Call us today at 888-909-0110 or pedilabsrx.com and experience a new era in healthcare. pedilabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
All right, let's go to Illinois. Doug, the T-shirt guy, wants to weigh in on Michelle Obama. Hi, Doug. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Great show as always. I was just wondering if she was having flashbacks to her days in the White House telling Joe Biden to stay away from her.
Oh, see, maybe it was Biden who was sniffing her hair.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh. Well, you know, that could be.
Yep. Doug, it was a slow news day. She's just trying to find stuff to talk about, stuff to complain about us white folks.
No. She's an oppressed woman, and how dare we vote for her husband? How dare we do that? By the way, and Doug, thanks for the call. That's great. It could have been Biden. There could be some legitimacy to her concerns. You know, the Obamas, the oppressed Obamas, they've got a mansion and estate in Oahu worth $8.4 million. They have the mansion in Washington, D.C. worth $8.1 million. They have the beautiful seaside mansion in Martha's Vineyard worth $15 million. And then they have their original home in Chicago that Barack bought for $1.6 million. And that's what he used his money as a community organizer. That was his only day job, community organizing. Do you know of anybody in your circle of friends that owns four mansions, ladies and gentlemen? Now, that's oppressive right there and offensive. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. Recently, you've heard about the possible dangers of acetaminophen or Tylenol for young children and pregnant mothers. Social media sites have recommended common sense remedies for mild fever that include homeopathy and select herbs that work without side effects. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and depletes your most potent antioxidant, glutathione, your force field against invaders. Did you know three or more alcoholic drinks in Tylenol can cause liver damage? Moms have been giving us first aid since the beginning of time, and now an online group called Crunchy Moms are offering simple options for fever that really work. PediLabs Pharmacy has a team of skilled clinical pharmacists trained in natural medicine, as well as traditional pharmaceuticals like leucovorin for autism and ivermectin for infections. Call us today at 888-909-0110 or pedilabsrx.com and experience a new era in healthcare. pedilabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
What a weird story out of Michigan. So in White Lake, Michigan, a man is facing manslaughter charges after he shot a bunch of thugs in the garage of his home. This all happened back in July. Drayton Napton, 24 years old, charged with manslaughter, assault with intent to do great bodily harm. What if he shoved a nose up the brain there? Two counts of felony firearms as a result of the incident. This is in Oakland County. Now, Savon Wilson, age 17, was killed in the shooting. Another person sought medical help for gunshot wounds. In the meantime, 21-year-old Matthew Greenwich and four juveniles have each been charged with breaking and entering for the circumstances that preceded the shooting. So, in other words, you basically had a mob of thugs that were trying to stage a home invasion robbery. Now, the incident happened about 1 a.m. The resident, identified as Mr. Napton, was alerted through a video security system there was a group of people in his garage. That's when he left his house with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, fired into the garage. There were seven people in the group, and they ran off. Mr. Napton fired additional shots as they were running away, then went back into the house, reloaded the weapon, and returned. Cut number seven, please.
It doesn't make sense that it wasn't done out of malice and for them to charge him with manslaughter when everything in the report is suggesting that it was malicious intent.
Back in July, prosecutors say Wilson, along with six others, broke into Napton's detached garage. Napton coming out with a 9mm. Prosecutors say firing two shots through a windowless locked garage door. Then, as the group ran away, prosecutors say Napton shot at them five more times, ran back inside, reloaded his gun, and came back outside.
Devine was running away and got shot. I never heard anything about him getting shot in the garage.
But prosecutors say Wilson hit and killed from a bullet fired through the locked door.
We had a really close connection. So it hurts a lot. I would have never expected this to happen to him. He has so many dreams and aspirations.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he did have dreams and aspirations, but the problem is that he was trying to rob somebody's home. And it seems to me that if you have dreams and you have wishes, then you probably ought not to rob somebody's home, because you never know when they're going to be armed and you never know when they're going to open fire. Now, my question is, who is the victim here? The prosecutors would have you believe the 24-year-old Drayton Napton is the victim or is the perpetrator. Many people are saying this guy has been wrongfully charged. By the way, the homeowner, a white man, and the seven thugs in the garage, all black, all minorities. Going back to this, Savon Wilson, the one who got killed, 17 years old. This is a tragedy. No doubt about it, a tragedy. A tragedy that could have been prevented if Savon Wilson had not tried to invade somebody's home at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, it just seems to me that if you've got somebody in your home and the garage is indeed a part of the home and they're trying to break down the door, I don't care what they're doing. If they're inside your home, you have the right to defend yourself, your family, and your property. So why in the world are we prosecuting a guy for defending his home against, what, six or seven thugs? This is no doubt going to be a huge debate over the Stand Your Ground law. I will say this, that if, now let's just say, and again, we don't have the details of what happened afterwards, but if this guy's running down the street, firing his gun at the thugs as they are running away, that does put other people's lives in danger. No doubt about that. But if you're on somebody's property at 1 o'clock in the morning, with six or seven of your pals, and you're trying to break in, yeah, good luck to you. You basically get what you ask for there. The Oakland County Prosecutor's Office is seeming to suggest that was the issue. By the way, the guy is a pretty good shot. At least, let's see, another teenager in the group was shot in the leg. At least two other victims, or they're calling them victims, but they're perpetrators. They're suspects. Two of the other suspects had bullet wounds as well. So you're looking at four shot, and at least one died. The prosecutor, Karen McDonald, of course it's a Karen. This defendant crossed the line by firing outside his home at fleeing persons. His actions not only took a life, but potentially endangered the surrounding community by firing his weapon into the night. He faces up to 15 years behind bars. But the family of the dead thug says that this guy needs to be charged with murder. And they're suggesting that anything less is unacceptable because they say their loved one, the criminal thug, is in fact the real victim here. Now, Napton's got a good, I hope he's got a good attorney. He's going to need one. The attorney says this is a case of stone self-defense. And Napton pleaded not guilty to the charges, given a $200,000 cash bond. Michigan law, by the way, allows for residents to use deadly force against someone who is invading their home if they have an honest and reasonable belief there's a threat to their life. The attorney says that Mr. Napton's home had been broken into multiple times before, and local police merely encouraged him to get a better home alert system. So he bought a gun. Seemed to work. A neighbor told Fox News Mr. Napton stored dirt bikes in the garage, although it's unclear if that's what the teens may have been after. Wow. Unreal. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. Recently, you've heard about the possible dangers of acetaminophen or Tylenol for young children and pregnant mothers. Social media sites have recommended common sense remedies for mild fever that include homeopathy and select herbs that work without side effects. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and depletes your most potent antioxidant, glutathione, your force field against invaders. Did you know three or more alcoholic drinks in Tylenol can cause liver damage? Moms have been giving us first aid since the beginning of time, and now an online group called Crunchy Moms are offering simple options for fever that really work. PD Labs Pharmacy has a team of skilled clinical pharmacists trained in natural medicine, as well as traditional pharmaceuticals like leucovorin for autism and ivermectin for infections. Call us today at 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com and experience a new era in healthcare. pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
You know, there is this thought process within the BLM movement that you really, as a homeowner, do not have full rights to your home. And so, therefore, when people are breaking in and stealing stuff, it's really a form of reparation. So that may or may not be what happened there in White Lake Township. But that's not a good situation. And again, if you are a law-abiding homeowner and you are engaged in your Second Amendment rights, you've got to make sure that you know the law of the land and you know the right way and the wrong way to use a firearm. I got a question for you. You know, President Trump talking about prices coming down. Prices have come down. I mean, when you look at prices during the Biden years, they shot up almost 30%. Almost 30%. It was insane. So far during the Trump administration, prices have come down 5%. That means they're still super high, but they're not as high as they were, and it's going to take some time for those numbers to come down. We certainly have seen that happen with gasoline prices, and gas prices are coming down. That will, again, have a trickle-down effect to your groceries that you buy at the grocery store, no doubt about it. That being said, you're still going to be paying less for Thanksgiving dinner this year than you were last year. But are you going to be paying as much or as little as you paid back in 1981? Now, I was a freshman in high school? No, I was still in junior high. I was in junior high school back in 81, and we found a commercial, a news report, going all the way back to 1981 on the cost of a Thanksgiving dinner. Take a listen.
Thanksgiving dinner 1981 will not be as expensive as some people may think. We took a typical list of Thanksgiving dinner items to four different grocery chains in the Albuquerque area to compare prices. We purchased items to feed six adults. Here's what we found. A 12-pound turkey averaged $6.69. The average cost for 12 ounces of stuffing was $1.04. 15 ounces of cornbread mix averaged 69 cents. Two 15-ounce cans of green beans averaged 76 cents. 3 pounds of yams averaged $1.59, and a 7-ounce jar of marshmallow cream was 57 cents. One 16-ounce can of cranberry sauce cost an average of 57 cents. A 16-ounce can of pumpkin also cost an average 57 cents. Mincemeat ranged in price from $2.29 to $2.99 for a 28-ounce jar. Two 9-inch pie crust averaged 65 cents, and 8 ounces of whipped topping averaged 73 cents at the four stores. The total show, the most expensive of the four stores we shopped was Furs, with a total cost of $17.83 for the items, followed by Smith at $16.52, Bag and Save at $15.77, and Albertsons at the low end with a total of $15.75 for all items. As you can see from our figures, you can enjoy a complete Thanksgiving dinner for little more than it might cost to take a family of six to a fast food outlet on the weekend, if you shop.
Wow. Dylan, could you imagine? $15, you can't even go to a McDonald's these days for $15.
I just bought a chicken sandwich the other day for $15.
Woo! You get an entire Thanksgiving dinner, complete with mincemeat pie.
Yum. Yeah. There's a lot of things that just cost a couple cents
there. Yeah. Back in the it's amazing. And even gasoline, gosh, what was it back in the 70s? Somebody will remember this. I think back in the 70s, gas was under $1 a gallon. Under $1 a gallon.
Man.
And everybody did just fine. No, not everybody lived in the big bazillion-dollar homes and the mansions. You know, these. I think one of the big problems in America, far too many people are living well beyond their means. Back in the day, credit cards, ladies will remember this. Ladies of a certain age will remember this. But, Dylan, you will be shocked to know that ladies, there was one time in American history that ladies had to get permission from their husbands to get a credit card.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And this was while you were alive, I'm assuming.
I think this was before was before I was born.
Okay, that's interesting, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling.
Can you imagine?
Little ladies. Those little ladies. In 1974, they came up with the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, and it made it illegal to discriminate in credit transactions based on sex or marital status. Before the law, Dylan, many women needed a male cosigner to get a credit card, especially if they were married. Could you imagine?
They knew something we didn't know. They knew.
That's right. But, you know, again, it's like, honey, can I get a credit card? No.
Now you're like, where's my credit card?
Where's my sandwich?
Oh, wow.
Well, that too.
That too.
But anyway, yeah, so it was until 1974. So, yeah, I was born in 67. So, but again, it's here we are. And now everybody's in debt up to the wazoo. Just saying. Any of you ladies remember those days? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I am curious this year, if you've already been out shopping for Thanksgiving, a lot of folks are doing that now. They're already getting their turkeys and all that, all the fixins. Have you noticed if any prices have actually come down at the supermarket? So very curious to hear your thoughts on that. No, it's women could get credit cards, but they would have to have a guy in many cases. The husband would have to co-sign. That was one of the big issues, by the way, when it came for women's rights and the whole ERA movement and all the feminazis, you know, marching in the streets, the whole nine yards. So there you go. All right. Coming up in the next hour of the program, we're going to jump into the Epstein situation. We're expecting the House to vote. President Trump has changed his opinion on that. Also, North Carolina Governor Josh Stein now speaking out against the Border Patrol. And we'll get into some of that as well. Let's go to James in Arkansas. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me on. I remember back when I was, I think I was 17 years old, I got gas for 69 cents a gallon at a fuel station in Batesville, Arkansas.
Wow.
Yeah. That's been a while, though.
That's been a long time. What decade was that?
Oh, that was, I'm going to say it was 88.
Is that 1988? Wow, that was back in the day.
Well, I'm a little old.
Well, I like that. Do you remember when women, you know, they could not get a credit card? If they were married, they had to get a cosigner on their credit card.
Todd, back in the day, women couldn't get a checking account. They couldn't get a bank account without their husband saying okay.
Dylan, are you taking notes, Dylan?
No comment.
Let me clarify right now for all of America. I'm not saying that was a good thing. That was a terrible thing, but that's the way it was back in the 70s.
James wants supper tonight.
Well, actually, Todd, now I do all the cooking at my house. I'm retired now.
So. Okay. All right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, actually, everybody says I'm a better cook, but I don't know that that's true. I think they just want to keep eating, like you say.
There you go. All right, James, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Steve, Morehead City, North Carolina. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. From one despicable to another.
Yes, sir.
Yes, still have the book. It's dog-eared and has been passed around a lot. It's a great book.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it really is. Something that Michelle Obama said, I just could not let this pass. She's obviously very, very angry. I think she really thought she was going to be the first black president, and that didn't work out quite right. However, she made a comment that I couldn't let go. I grew up Catholic, and so we grew up, and I grew up in High Point, North Carolina in 1960. And so we saw it from a whole different perspective. We were fully integrated. When I say fully integrated, I mean, my second grade teacher, for instance, Mrs. Alvarez, I loved her. She was one of the last people to escape Fidel Castro. So believe me, those are the people. And I knew a lot of people who barely got out of there. And so those are the people who truly were oppressed. And for somebody who's horribly rich, I guess it's enough is never enough. But it reminded me of something.
Real quick.
Okay, Bart Simpson, in the immortal words of Bart, the counselor asked him, Bart, is your dad ever angry about anything? And he says, yeah. He always says, why are you keeping him down? Well, and that's Homer J. Simpson. That's about as wide as sliced bread can get.
All right, Steve, appreciate that call. You know, it is interesting. We looked this up. Michelle Obama worth $70 million, four mansions, $70 million, and she's wearing a wig. There you go. That's pretty much all you need to know about Michelle Obama. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Also, head over to toddstearns.com. Check out all of our great stories, great content for you there. And stick around. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. Recently, you've heard about the possible dangers of acetaminophen or Tylenol for young children and pregnant mothers. Social media sites have recommended common sense remedies for mild fever that include homeopathy and select herbs that work without side effects. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and depletes your most potent antioxidant, glutathione, your force field against invaders. Did you know three or more alcoholic drinks in Tylenol can cause liver damage? Moms have been giving us first aid since the beginning of time, and now an online group called Crunchy Moms are offering simple options for fever that really work. PD Labs Pharmacy has a team of skilled clinical pharmacists trained in natural medicine, as well as traditional pharmaceuticals like leucovorin for autism and ivermectin for infections. Call us today at 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com and experience a new era in healthcare. pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So the battle lines are already being drawn for 2028. I think it's a smidge early to do that, but whatever. We knew it was going to happen. And here's the challenge, and I get it, it's going to be ugly because there is going to be a fight for the heart and soul of the MAGA movement. And you're going to have people. I'm telling you, Ted Cruz. You're looking at Ron DeSantis. You're looking at J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, among other. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been hinting around that she might possibly run. Now, on the MTG thing, and I want to circle back around to this. In the great scheme of things, MTG doesn't matter, right? And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. She's a congresswoman from a district in Northwest Georgia. That's where she matters. I can come out and say that, you know, she's betrayed Trump. I can say whatever I want, but it really doesn't matter because I'm not in her district. The people that she has to please, the people that she has to make sure she's working hard for are not the people in Memphis, Tennessee or Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's the people in her congressional district. And the same thing goes for your elected leaders. So I know that she and President Trump are battling right now, but at the end of the day, the only votes that matter are the ones in her congressional district. And I don't know. I'm curious, who do you see the standard bearer of the America First movement being? Because we're going to have that conversation. Is it Marco Rubio? Is it J.D. Vance? Is it Scott Bessent? Is it Ted Cruz or Ron DeSantis? Or is there someone else out there who you believe can be the standard bearer after President Trump leaves office? Give us a call. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is from North Carolina, where they have been dealing with a massive, you folks in North Carolina have been dealing with a massive influx of illegals and also immigrants. And now your governor is coming out and he's going after the Border Patrol. They're in Charlotte right now and they're doing an amazing job of rounding up illegals, in many cases, very dangerous illegals. Here's your governor, cut number 11.
We've seen masked, heavily armed agents in paramilitary garb driving unmarked cars, targeting American citizens based on their skin color, racially profiling and picking up random people in parking lots and off of our sidewalks, going after landscapers simply decorating a Christmas tree in someone's front yard, and entering churches and stores to grab people. This is not making us safer. It's stoking fear and dividing our community.
No, the only people they're going after, Governor, are the people that are here illegally, the criminals. That's who they're going after. And you know what bothers me? I've been watching over the weekend. I saw these people. They had a lot of people protesting, marching in the streets, attacking ICE agents. At least one ICE officer was injured. And I get it. You have a right to protest as long as you're protesting peacefully, as long as you're obeying the law. But, you know, I don't remember any protest when Irina Zarudska was stabbed to death on that light rail train in Charlotte. I don't remember that. Do any of you remember that? Were people marching in the streets condemning the murder, condemning the murderer? But when illegal aliens get arrested, they're out there saying, whoa, this is a threat to humanity. What's going on there? It's really sad to think that a beautiful state like North Carolina, which was once a rock-solid, dependable red state, has gone woke. And a lot of the reason why is because of the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of immigrants that have moved into the state. Not to mention all those folks from New York and a lot of the other liberal states bringing their politics with them. I'm just telling you, that is a bad, bad situation. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Frank is on the line. Hi, Frank. What's going on?
Oh, hey. Hi. How you doing, Todd? Good to talk to you. Well, your previous caller a little bit earlier was saying that, you know, he's, what, 59 or 60 or something like that. And he said, yeah, he can remember back in, what did he say, the 70s or 80s, and he paid like 69 cents a gallon for gas. Well, I can beat that substantially. Back in the mid-60s, just after I started driving. Gas in Mount Angel, which is just outside of Salem, at a Shell station. I went in there and says, give me 5 gallons of gas. I mean, $5 of gas. And I got 5 gallons because it was around 20 cents a gallon. And in the mid to later 60s. But they had something that probably only happened back then. They had what they had called gas wars. One service station would lower his gas price by a penny. And the next one, next door or a block down the street, would say, oh, he's not going to beat me. I'll lower mine by 2 cents. So I'd be a cent penny below his. And they'd just keep on going until they finally hit a rock bottom, and then they'd stop it. But no, those went on for quite a few years.
I remember those gas wars. Yeah, I certainly remember those.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was nice for the consumer because, like I said, you know, especially a young kid like myself that back then, you know, just driving and had to gas up, generally had to drive my dad's car or something like that. And like I said, I'd pull in there and say, maybe give me a dollar's worth of gas.
You know, it's interesting, Frank. Going back to 1960, gasoline was 31 cents a gallon on average. And the gas prices rose steadily, right? But pretty much, I think in 1980 is when gas prices finally went above a dollar a gallon. And that was in 1980. It was $1.22 for a gallon of gas. Do you know that it was not until 2005 that gas rose above $2 a gallon? It was 2005. The average for a gallon of gas was $2.27.
Yeah, I can remember those.
I miss those days.
On my own vehicles, you know, ever since I've started owning my own vehicles, I keep a little book ledger in my vehicle, and I'll write the date, get my mileage, and how much gas I got, and how much I paid for it, and how much it was per gallon. And yeah, I got some old ones and stuff because, well, I'm driving a 2006 Ford pickup that I bought brand new back in 06. And yeah, I can look in it and I can see prices back clear back then, you know, $1.80 and stuff like that. So yeah.
Do you remember, Frank, I'm curious, in Salem, did you guys have, like, back in the 70s is when they were starting to wane a little bit. But from the 70s and below, they used to, I mean, it was pretty much full-service gas stations. So you pull in there, and there's an attendant, and you get your gas, or they're going to get your gas for you. They'll check your oil and tire pressure, even wash the windows.
Oh, yes. Well, and in Oregon is still the only state in the union. I think New Jersey was the other one, but they got rid of self-service. Several years ago, I think, but Oregon still has it. They won't allow you to do much of anything.
Well, in New Jersey, it's against the law. In New Jersey, you are not allowed, the public is not allowed to pump their own gas. They have to have a gas station attendant do it for you, which is really weird. I never have understood that.
Well, and Oregon was the same way until a couple of years ago here, and they relaxed it a bit. You pull into a service station that has maybe 6 lanes, and they might have 2 that are for self-service. And, of course, they're empty because why do you want to get out and get your gas hands all gas smelly and stuff like that? It's no cheaper. The price is the same in either one, and I always get out and wash my windows, of course. But, yeah, like you said, I can remember it. Yeah,
those, and then you'd always have, your dad would have the Rand McNally map out, and you're like, hey, you know, how do you get from this place to that place? And without fail, the service attendant would be able to give you some directions as you were getting ready to head out. But then,
well, I still use maps.
Do you really?
I've got GPS in my vehicle. I've got a good sense of direction. You know, I've always had. So I'll get a map, and if I'm traveling, I'll just jot some things down and saying, okay, take this road or this freeway or whatever and get off here, and here it is.
Frank, I have in the back of my Cadillac right now, I have a giant Rand McNally map. So it's in the event that Google ever goes down, we have internet failure, Dylan, I will be able to get us to wherever we're going.
I was going to say, you and Frank are probably going to survive the apocalypse,
yeah.
Not Gen Z.
It's true. All right.
Well, I can remember when we were going up to my son's place in Denver, and we were using GPS. And the GPS, which it's a gal, and it's just annoying to listen to them. I can't stand GPS. And they got us lost. It says, take this.
I believe that.
And it took the exit, and it was like in some slum industrial area or something like that. And I said, okay. So I pulled out my map and
Well, let me tell you, Frank, Frank, I got to run, my friend, but thank you for the call. Dylan, I did that. I was speaking up in, where was it? Somewhere, Covington, Tennessee or wherever, and Siri took me all the way up through Frazier and North Memphis and at least one active crime scene.
I believe that.
I'm like, holy cow, where am I?
You know, they just try to take you to the fastest, like, route. They don't really consider the Memphis area as much.
I think Siri was trying to kill me.
I think she was.
In all seriousness.
She has it out for you.
Indeed. No, this is true. In New Jersey, you're not allowed to pump your gas. It's against the law. And there is talk. Back in March, a state senator had actually reintroduced a bill that would allow people to pump their own gas. I have relatives in New Jersey, and they're terrified of pumping. They're like, no, we have to let the professionals handle it. What do you think you're doing, Todd? You're going to blow us up. I'm like, guys, it's a gas pump. Come on. What's going on, New Jersey? All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. Recently, you've heard about the possible dangers of acetaminophen or Tylenol for young children and pregnant mothers. Social media sites have recommended common sense remedies for mild fever that include homeopathy and select herbs that work without side effects. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and depletes your most potent antioxidant, glutathione, your force field against invaders. Did you know 3 or more alcoholic drinks in Tylenol can cause liver damage? Moms have been giving us first aid since the beginning of time, and now an online group called Crunchy Moms are offering simple options for fever that really work. PD Labs Pharmacy has a team of skilled clinical pharmacists trained in natural medicine, as well as traditional pharmaceuticals like leucovorin for autism and ivermectin for infections. Call us today at 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com and experience a new era in healthcare. pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
All right, let's go to Dahlonega, Georgia. Jerry is listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
Hello, Todd, our favorite radio host.
Thank you.
So I used to live in Georgia, and I asked that same question. I said, why is it no self-serve? And he said it's because insurance and liability keeps the cost down by having professionals pump the gas.
Is that right? So are there that many incidents involving people pumping their own gas and, I don't know, blowing up gas stations? I'm curious what the insurance issue would be.
Well, probably. I mean, people probably bring the cardboard milk cartons and try to fill them up with gas. And by keeping professionals in control, it keeps the incidents down.
Well, that's interesting. I know that back in the 1950s and 60s, in New Jersey, especially, the state lawmakers were lobbied by the owners of these full service gas stations, and you know, I think their argument was that it's a matter of job creation and making sure the station attendants, you know, had jobs. I did not realize there was some sort of an insurance component to all of this.
Yeah, well, that's what I was told at a station. I asked once. So. We love listening to you every day.
Well, thank you. Now, Jerry, have you been to the Smith House there in Dahlonega?
Absolutely. Fantastic service and food.
Oh, yeah. And I love how it comes out family style. So, you know, you're going to get a great meal and a full belly.
Yeah, the Smith House is one of our favorites. At Shenanigans as well. That's the only Irish pub in North Georgia.
Oh, and it's called Shenanigans?
Shenanigans, yeah.
I love it. Well, Jerry, thank you for calling in. Tell our good friends over at the Smith House that we said hello. You've got a beautiful town up there. You know, this is a funny little story about Dahlonega. I've been there many, many times, and just I fell in love with the town. And many years ago, before I had ever thought about, you know, Fox News and New York City and all of that stuff, I just wanted to own a small town newspaper. That was sort of like my sweet spot in life was, you know, owning a small town newspaper and living that sort of Mayberry experience. And I was really interested at one point in buying the Dahlonega Nugget, which was the name of the newspaper there in Dahlonega. You know, that was where the Georgia Gold Rush took place, Dylan. That's why they call it the Dahlonega Nugget, for the gold nugget.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So I don't know how much gold they found up there, but they still do it. You can still pan for gold.
I mean, if you're naming something after it, you probably found a good bit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But yeah, so that was my dream job. You could have been panning for gold.
Hey.
In Dahlonega, Georgia.
Let's go.
Between commercial breaks.
Dreams crushed.
You know, it is what it is. Life's never fair. So instead, I went to go work at Fox News Channel. So there you go, figure. Anyway, all that to say, yeah, I love newspapers, especially small local newspapers. Those are great publications. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I tell you a lot about our website, and we're super proud of it. Millions of people go to our website. They share our stories and content. And we are so thankful for that. I want to remind you as well about our Todd Stern store, so you can go and get all sorts of great merch, including all of my books. And especially for Christmas time, very excited to tell you about our two devotion books, our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl and Star Spangled Blessings Devotions for Patriots. They make wonderful little stocking stuffers and great little gifts. So if you belong to a church social club or a Sunday school, a choir, this is a wonderful little gift to get your minister or to get a friend of yours, maybe in your Bible study group or whatever. Wonderful, wonderful gifts. You can get them personally signed and inscribed at toddstearns.com, or you can get them wherever you buy your books. Again, that's our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, and Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You're going to love them. Absolutely love them. Had a great time, by the way, speaking this weekend in South Haven, Mississippi at the Memphis Apologetics Group. That was a lot of fun, and we signed a lot of books, too. So I want to say a very special hello to all of you folks out there in South Haven, Mississippi. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. Recently, you've heard about the possible dangers of acetaminophen or Tylenol for young children and pregnant mothers. Social media sites have recommended common sense remedies for mild fever that include homeopathy and select herbs that work without side effects. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and depletes your most potent antioxidant, glutathione, your force field against invaders. Did you know 3 or more alcoholic drinks in Tylenol can cause liver damage? Moms have been giving us first aid since the beginning of time, and now an online group called Crunchy Moms are offering simple options for fever that really work. PD Labs Pharmacy has a team of skilled clinical pharmacists trained in natural medicine, as well as traditional pharmaceuticals like leucovorin for autism and ivermectin for infections. Call us today at 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com and experience a new era in healthcare. pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So, look, we have a little update in the James Comey issue, and it's not good, and it's a little confusing. So the lead prosecutor selected by Pam Bondi in the Justice Department, the lead prosecutor in the case, is an individual by the name of Lindsay Halligan, and I'm sure she's a very nice person. She is the one that's in charge of prosecuting Mr. Comey. There's just a little problem. It turns out that her resume is, her LinkedIn profile is just a smidge light. It turns out she was a former White House aide, and she was an insurance lawyer. And that was it. She has absolutely no prosecutorial experience. And now many, including a good number of conservatives, are wondering why she would be put in charge of prosecuting such a high-profile case. That is a good question. So now we've got a situation where the judge in the case, William Fitzpatrick, ordered the Justice Department to hand over grand jury material. This is all happening today. To hand over grand jury material to James Comey, which is an unusual move. The judge said it was necessary because of the Justice Department's unusual activity during the secret grand jury proceedings. Well, all grand jury proceedings are secret, so there's nothing weird about that. The judge also scolded the Justice Department in the order for what he said was a glaring mishandling of evidence presented to grand jurors and possible misstatements by the case's lead prosecutor, Lindsay Halligan. According to the judge, the court is finding the government's actions in the case, whether reckless or negligent, raise genuine issues of misconduct and inextricably linked to the government's grand jury presentation and deserve to be fully explored by the defense. This is all coming from Fox News, by the way. So the glaring question is, what is going on at the Justice Department? All these issues and problems and missteps. I get it, but it's how, in the first couple of months, I get it. You're going to have issues, but why now? What in the world is going on over there? Why would you give such a high profile case? And again, I have nothing. I don't know Lindsay Halligan. I'm sure she's a very nice, competent, qualified real estate attorney. But what does that have to do with prosecuting James Comey? And why is it that she was selected? It's perplexing. Again, all of this coming from the Fox story here. Now, some of you may be saying, well, it's the judge. Okay, yes, but the reality is if the prosecuting attorney screwed up, they screwed up. And they've got to get this right. Otherwise, it looks like Comey could be getting off here. And that would be a great miscarriage of justice. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go back in time for just a moment. Tucker Carlson and Senator Ted Cruz. Now, Tucker's been catching a lot of flack because he had such a nice, pleasant conversation, very long conversation with Nick Fuentes, and Tucker was very cordial, did not interrupt, did not press Nick Fuentes on anything, including when Fuentes talked about how much he admired Hitler. I mean, Trump is coming out there, and Trump is now defending Tucker and saying, look, Tucker can interview whoever he wants to interview. That doesn't mean Tucker's endorsing the guy's viewpoints, but Tucker does have a right. And that's true. Tucker does have a right to do that. I would say that you also have a responsibility as an interviewer to poke a little bit and to prod and in some cases be incredulous. You know, Nick, are you sure you like Hitler? You really think the guy's a good guy? You ever hear of the, I don't know, concentration camps, Nick? What about the gas chambers? That sort of repulse you by any chance? But there was none of that. It really was a very kind love fest of an interview with Nick Fuentes. That's not how things went when Tucker sat down with Ted Cruz. Take a listen.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population.
At all?
No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah.
How could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country...
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. Okay, what's the ethnic mix of Iran?
They are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
you don't know anything about Iran. So,
I am not the Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government.
You're the one who
claims anything about the country.
No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
I'm not saying that.
Who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani, and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation. And if you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help. I said we. Israel is leading them, but we're supporting them.
Well, you're breaking news here, because the U.S. government last night denied, the National Security Council spokesman Alex Pfeiffer denied on behalf of Trump that we were acting on Israel's behalf in any offensive capacity.
No, we're not bombing them. Israel's bombing them.
You just said we were.
We are supporting Israel.
High stakes. You're a senator. If you're saying the United States government is at war with Iran right now, people are listening.
Okay.
All right. So you can sort of feel the difference there, right? It's like, wow. All right, Senator Cruz, how many hairs are on the head of your enemy? What do you mean you don't know? Don't you hedge. How many hairs? I need to know right now exactly how many hairs are on the head. Come on now. Come on, Ted. How many? That's his interview style. I don't know. I don't make this up. I don't giggle like that. It's just sort of weird and off-putting. How many hairs, Ted? It's like, where did that come from? And then you've got Tucker interviewing Nick Fuentes. Oh, so Hitler had a bunny rabbit? Wow, that's cool. Wow. I didn't know that. Tell us more about Hitler. You're like, what is going on here? It's just, so anyway, look, here's the deal. A lot of these folks are not serious. Tucker Carlson, if you follow Tucker for any amount of time, you know that his positions on literally everything have changed. And that's okay. That's great if you're into that kind of thing. But people are not being, they're not being open with you. There's a lot more going on here. People are fighting over TPUSA. And I will say this. I don't see TPUSA lasting very long if they don't get some good, solid leadership in there. And they're going to have direction, because in a couple of years, and hear me on this, we've only been a couple of months away and people are already starting to move on. A couple of years from now, you have an organization that was based around one person who did his job very, very effectively. And you've got a lot of other people out there. And if you've been on X or Facebook or Instagram, TikTok, you see them and they're out there. They're on the college campuses. And they're not interested in having a genuine conversation. They're interested in stirring up a stink so they can get more clicks, so they can, I don't know, get a private jet and, you know, be the next Charlie Kirk. And it's not going to work. It's not. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just telling you right now, there is a leadership vacuum at TPUSA, and they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know what to do. They're at a loss, and that goes back to the fact that everything was based around Charlie, and a lot of people have a lot of questions about what's going on over there, and I don't want to get into that today. That's their business, and I wish them nothing but the best, but when you look at other organizations like Young America's Foundation, for example, they have been steady and consistent since the 1960s, and they are still steady and consistent. And the reason why is that it's not built around a person. It's built around conservative ideas.
And that's why it's been able to last and go through many iterations from, you know, William F. Buckley Jr. to Ronald Reagan to where we are now. And so anyway, it's all that to say, I don't know what's going on with Tucker. And look, Trump is right. And I've seen the story. Oh, Trump defends Nazi interview. No, Trump is defending Tucker's right as a commentator or a journalist or whatever he's calling himself, a personality to interview whoever he wants to interview. That doesn't mean that Tucker agrees with everything that Nick Fuentes is saying, or maybe it does. I don't know. But to come out here and say, oh, you have to, you know, you have to clear your interviews, otherwise, you know, you're a Nazi lover or whatever. Okay, well, who gets to make that determination? Where is that coming from? Like I said, it's a lot of distractions. There are a lot of squirrels running around the conservative movement right now. And the one we need to be focused on, the most important thing we need to be focused on, is delivering on this agenda. Secure the border. We've done that. We've got to ramp up the deportations. Tom Homan said that is happening, and it's going to be even bigger next year, which is great. So we can't wait to see that. And we also have to dismantle the Department of Education. We're not seeing that. And we're also not punishing these schools, by the way. All of these schools that are flagrantly disobeying the president's executive orders on this sex and gender, this transgender garbage, and they're not being punished for it. Why not, Mr. President? Why aren't we going after those folks? And I know that people are saying, be patient. We do not have the time for patience. Because come January, everybody on Capitol Hill is going to be laser focused on the midterms. That means nothing controversial is going to get done because they don't want to upset their reelection chances. So we don't have a lot of time at all. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. Recently, you've heard about the possible dangers of acetaminophen or Tylenol for young children and pregnant mothers. Social media sites have recommended common sense remedies for mild fever that include homeopathy and select herbs that work without side effects. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and depletes your most potent antioxidant, glutathione, your force field against invaders. Did you know three or more alcoholic drinks in Tylenol can cause liver damage? Moms have been giving us first aid since the beginning of time, and now an online group called Crunchy Moms are offering simple options for fever that really work. PD Labs Pharmacy has a team of skilled clinical pharmacists trained in natural medicine, as well as traditional pharmaceuticals like leucovorin for autism and ivermectin for infections. Call us today at 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com and experience a new era in healthcare. pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
Dylan, I'm in big trouble.
Yes, you are.
I just prank called our radio station.
You prank called your own radio station. That stoops low, Todd.
What's funny is I'm directly across from the call screener.
It is funny. You were like weirdly good at prank calling.
It's, well, you know, my name is Carl. I need to ask Todd some questions.
You sound like Bill Clinton.
I'm feeling poorly.
You know, that's going to fly. You should just do this. You should prank call radio stations.
That's it. You know, that's a lot. You know, we could do that. We could prank call people, though. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do that back in the day. So that was really fun. The Star 6-7.
Oh, that's
works
it?
Works every time. Now people don't answer their phones. No, they don't. It's not as fun.
Right. I'll tell you. You know what? We have I was watching these documentaries. They just kill me. I'm sitting there. I'm browsing the channels. By the way, I watched a great Netflix series based on the life of President James Garfield. That was awesome. But anyway, it recommended, I don't know how we go from James Garfield, who was a Republican president who was assassinated, to EMP devices and what happens when they explode.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to find a Faraday bag for the entire building.
You have a vast amount of information that you've learned.
Well, I do, but I do get concerned though, because you know there's so much reliance on technology. Yep. And so look, I am ready to go. In the event that we lose the grid, I've got all these books on, how to how to create electricity with water and fire and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I've got all the books. Yeah. Gardening.
I mean, it's tempting to not make fun of, but think maybe not less, but I don't know what the word is of the people that prepare so much for that stuff, but it actually is a concerning thing that could possibly, if something's going to happen, it's going to be an EMP, right?
Every time I'm at the market now, I get extra cans.
Yeah.
So I have 8 cans of Wolf chili.
Yeah. Cause we're all going to be going to those. We're all going to be going to you, Todd.
Yeah.
We're coming to your bunker, which undisclosed. You know where it is. We don't know.
Undisclosed.
Yeah. And we're going to knock on your door and you're there to help.
Even bought a manual can opener. So in the event you don't have power, right? Cause the power goes out, your can opener is not going to work.
Yeah.
So true. You got the little So,
you're very prepared.
I am ready.
Yeah.
But you do think about, you're just without, for example, we saw this happen with the SNAP benefit programs, right? People went without their food stamps for, 30 days, and people were going through ho-ho withdrawal.
Yeah.
They weren't able to get their ho-hos and their little Debbie SNAP cakes.
Yeah, don't forget about those. During COVID, everyone, we ran out of milk. We ran out of bread.
That's true.
So it happens really quick.
I mean, Pete Buttigieg is good on that department, but the rest of us were hoes.
Yeah, he's full.
Remember that story from last week?
He's got plenty transgender milk.
It's trans milk.
Whatever that is.
By the way, I was in the grocery store and I was, I was looking for my Dr. Pepper. I drink Dr. Pepper on the weekends.
The medicine.
I limit my intake to the weekends. But anyway, I came across the Yoo-Hoo and I thought about transgender milk.
Terrible. It's watery. That's what it is. It is Yoo-Hoo. It's like Yoo-Hoo without the chocolate. It's just like normal.
It's true. It's true. All that to say, you have to start thinking about those kinds of things because in the event that we have some sort of, we lose the grid or, God forbid, we go to war with the big dogs. I think society here will collapse, and I think it will collapse within 72 hours. People say, we'll be able to survive for, a couple of weeks. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. One day of people not having access to their smartphones, I think it's over. I'm just saying. So all that, I've got all the Fox. There's this great collection of books called the Foxfire books that teach you everything you know about living off the grid. I'm ready to go.
I might ask for you to lend that to me at some point.
Well,
because I'm the first to die during this time. I'm the first to go. Everyone here in the station agrees. They've all been saying if the Hunger Games happened, I would die first.
But I get it, but you've got skills, right, with the video games.
Yeah, I have video game skills. Then the video games go away. Who am I?
See, my generation, we're all about that. It's like we used to live in the woods in Gen X.
You're the people that the video games were made
after. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. So we're old school. So our generation will survive and we will thrive. All right, we've got to scoot out of here. I'm so sorry. Michael from Millington, Tennessee. Give us a call back tomorrow because we are literally out of time. Folks, it's been a lot of fun tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. We'll have a jam-packed show. Oh, I forgot to talk about Epstein. We're going to get into that tomorrow. Trump's got nothing to worry about, folks. He really doesn't. All right, get out there. You be good, America.